I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter number 10, and we're going to continue our journey through the book of 2 Samuel. But then I want you to also find a New Testament passage, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So that's 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter, the Pew Bible page number is on your handout. And then 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And just put a bookmarker there in 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to go there in just a moment. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up high. Or if you got missed when you came in, our ushers are coming right now. They want you to have one. There's several verses on here we'll look at. So we want you to have one of those. Just lift your hand up high if we missed you. Last week, we studied the touching story of how David showed great kindness and grace toward a lame man. Does anybody remember his name? It's a real easy name to remember. Yeah, we nicknamed him Miffy, didn't we? Mephibosheth. And here in chapter 10, David continues his deeds of kindness. Let me real quickly give you the background. It's important that you get the background of the story. King David of Israel heard that the king of the Ammonites had died and that his son was reigning in his father's stead. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, obviously, at some point in the past, the former king of Ammon who died, he had showed some kindness unto David. So David desired to return the favor. So what he does is he sends a group of ambassadors from the land of Israel, and he sends them to the land of Ammon. And he sends these ambassadors of goodwill out to comfort and to probably bring some gifts of comfort to the new king, the son of the former king. Look at verse number 2. It says, "Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me." And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. So David's like, man, his dad was good to me, and now I want to be good to him. And so I'm going to send these ambassadors out from my palace. We're going to send these ambassadors into the land of Ammon. And I'm going to bring this message of grace, this message of comfort, this message of kindness to the new king, the son, who just lost his father. And so he sends these ambassadors out. Well, the new king did not appreciate or value David's kindness and grace. In fact, not only did he not value David's grace, but he spurned it and he totally rejected it. They took David's ambassadors, they treated them with just total, utter disrespect, and they sent them on their way. Let me read it to you. Look at verse number 3 and look what happens. It says here, "And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan, their lord." So there, he's got these guys that are giving him advice. This young guy, he's the new king. And here's what they told him. "Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father? That he has sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore, Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away." It's okay to laugh. It's kind of funny. I know some of you are wanting to laugh, and it's all right. I laughed when I read it. Would you agree he didn't exactly roll out the red carpet here? I mean, can you imagine coming over to my house and me cutting off half your beard and then and sending you on your way? You'd tell the whole church, wouldn't you? "You're not going to believe the way Pastor Dan treated me." It is how. I mean, David sends these ambassadors out with kindness and grace, a message of kindness and grace. And they hold these guys down, shave off half their beards, which, by the way, even to this day in many cultures, that is a total, total insult to do that, even in many cultures today, a total indignity. They hold them down, they shave off half their beards, they cut off their garment, and man, I mean, they send them on their way, buddy. And I mean, these guys are sent on their way with their back ends flashing in the breeze, you know. I mean, just totally disrespected these guys. Well, here's my point, though. As I studied this, I thought, you know, just as King David had ambassadors that he sent out, did you know that God has some ambassadors today to this world? Did you know God has some ambassadors to this earth? You say, what are you talking about? God has ambassadors to the earth today? Absolutely. This is where I want you to keep your bookmarker in 2 Samuel 10. I'm just going to switch mine. I'm going to take it from 2 Corinthians, put it in 2 Samuel. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and notice with me verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Paul is writing to a local group of believers just like you here at Crossroads. And he's writing to a local assembly, and he says to these Christians, these believers, verse 20, now then, we are what? Ambassadors, but who are we ambassadors for? Christ. Listen, if you are in Christ, then you are an ambassador for Christ. Did y'all get that? If you are in Christ, you're no longer in your sins, you are now in Christ. You're a believer. You've trusted Jesus. You are now in Christ. If you are in Christ, then you are an ambassador for Christ. You say, what's an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is just a representative. It's a representative. You represent the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. The question, I think, is this: how are we doing representing the King of Heaven on earth? How can you be an effective ambassador for Christ? I'm talking about to your neighbor. I'm talking about to your coworker. I'm talking about to the guys at college, the guys on the ball team, the ladies at the beauty parlor. How can you be an effective ambassador for your family members that don't know the Lord, or for the folks you go to college with, or the guys at the gym? How can you be an effective ambassador for Jesus Christ? How can you go out and represent Christ to them? Think about that word represent. What is that word? Well, think about it. Break down the word. What is it? Represent. Right? You go out and you represent Christ to others because he's not here anymore to present himself. He walked the earth for 33 years representing himself, but he's not here anymore, so you represent. You're to go out and represent Christ to other people. You are his representative. How are we doing? Well, this morning, I want us to really focus on this because it's very important that you and I be effective ambassadors. There's four things I want to give you quickly. Number one is this, okay? If we're going to be an effective ambassador for Christ, number one, you got to understand clearly your position as an ambassador. You know, these men were ambassadors for David, right? They were representing David. If our country sends ambassadors to Mexico, what do? They speak and they act in behalf of our government. Being an ambassador for King David, man, that was a high and a noble calling. But this morning, if you're a believer in Christ, you have a much higher and nobler calling. You hold the distinct honor, privilege, and position of being an ambassador for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Many people, many believers, many Christians, I don't believe understand their position, and they don't understand its importance. You see, Jesus Christ is not here on the earth any longer. He ascended to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, where now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. today Christ is not walking the earth. As I said, he's not representing himself on the earth. What he's doing is, in your handout, it says Christ is speaking his word through his appointed ambassadors. That's what he's doing today. He's speaking his word through his appointed ambassadors. Now, can anybody tell me who is that? Who is his appointed ambassadors? For good or bad, we're it. Look around. This is the team. If you know the Lord, you're on the team. If you know the Lord, you have a position as an ambassador. We're it. There's no plan B. I mean, you know, God could have set it up to where when the ocean waves rolled in here, that they spoke the gospel as they rolled in. He didn't do that. God could have set it up to where the trees spoke out the gospel, kind of like on The Wizard of Oz, you know, what are you doing there, you know? What are you picking an apple off of me for, you know? And the trees, like on The Wizard of Oz, could speak the gospel. That's not how he set it up. You and I are Christ's representatives on earth. When you speak the word to others, you are speaking in Christ's stead, in his place. Look with me at verse number 20. It says, I'm back in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, be ye reconciled to God. You are speaking, when you talk to your neighbor, or you talk to your coworker, you're speaking in Christ's stead. You understand that? You're speaking in his place. Do you know people, as we said earlier, that do not know Christ as their Savior? Most of you raised your hand earlier. You're Christ's representative to them. As I said a few weeks ago, there are people that I'm going to live my life out 80, 90, 100, 120 years on this earth. My wife kind of went like that, you know, when I said that in the early service. But I'm going to live my whole life out. I'm going to be born and die and never meet them, people you know. We just never will cross paths. But you know them. You've met them. You rub shoulders with them. You talk to them every day. You are Christ's representative to them. That's your spiritual position on earth. You speak his word and you live out his word in your daily life, thereby being an ambassador. Look with me in your handout at Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. It says there, for ye were sometimes darkness. That was my identity, man. I was just walking around in spiritual darkness. I didn't know anything. You were sometimes darkness, but now that I'm saved, now that I know Jesus, he says, now you're light in the Lord. But then what does he say? Say it with me. Walk as children of light. Say that again. Walk as children of light. That's God's plan. I go out and I live out my new identity that I have in Christ. I go out and I live that out. I walk as a child of light. Look at the next verse there, Philippians 2:15. Paul said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye what? You ought to underline that. Shine. That's God's plan. You go out and shine as lights in the world. You know, one of my pet peeves is when people say this statement. And I guess it's supposed to be humble. I don't know. But you hear people sometimes say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, I don't like that. Because you know what? We are saved by grace, but you're more than just that. Okay, you are now a saint of God in Christ. God doesn't see you as an old sinner anymore. He changed your identity. You are now in Christ. You have a brand new identity. You are a saint of God. You are in Christ. You are Christ's ambassador on earth. That's your position. And if we don't understand our position, we're never going to go out and live like our position. If I just think I'm an old sinner, you know, then I'm going to go out and live like what? An old sinner. But when I realized, man, no, I'm not an old sinner anymore. Man, he changed my identity. Look at verse 17. Look at how he changed your whole identity. He says there in verse 17, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. Notice, it says, he's just an old sinner. Is that what it says? No, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, the very end there, you've been given a ministry. Verse 20, he says, you're an ambassador for Christ. That is your position. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Do we understand our position now? Give me an amen if we understand that. All right, so now we understand our position. We understand who God's made us now. I'm now an ambassador. I'm His representative on earth. Number two, though, is just as important. If you're going to be an effective ambassador, number two, you have to understand clearly your message as an ambassador. You have to understand clearly your message. These ambassadors, when David sent them out, they were not sent out without a message. David said, I'm giving you a message of comfort and kindness, and I want you to take it to King Hanan. In sending out those ambassadors, David was sending out a message of comfort and love and peace. Well, as ambassadors for Christ, do we have a message to take to the world? Yes, we do. What is the message? What's the message? I mean, we need to know that, don't we? I mean, if I'm going to be an ambassador and go out and represent Him, I need to know what the message is. Well, look at verse 18, and I'm going to show it to you. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, here it is, the word of, and it's a good word, it's the word of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean? In your handout, it says to reconcile simply means to restore two parties to union or agreement after being previously alienated. So you got two people that are at odds, they're alienated. Reconciliation means they've been restored back to agreement. If you ever have a spat with your wife, not one man will say amen. I know you have. All right, so you don't even have to say it. I know you have. And you get a little spat with your wife, and you're alienated, and maybe she goes one way, you go the other, and you're not talking. But after a while, you come together, you talk it out, and you are what? You are reconciled. Well, I tell you what, the fighting's bad, but isn't the making up fun? Amen? And you come together, and the reconciling's the fun part. You know, you come and you reconcile. What happened? You restore that agreement. Now, biblically, when it talks about reconciliation, it means restoration to divine favor. You see, it means now I'm in God's favor. Now I am reconciled. I've been reconciled. I'm in God's favor now. And that's the message that we've been commissioned to share as ambassadors. It's the good news that individuals anywhere can be restored to God's favor. God's no respecter of persons. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God loves the people in Daytona Beach out at Spruce Creek Fly-In? Does He love them more than He loves the village people in the Patena, Guatemala? Not one bit more. Not one bit less. He loves the people in the villages of the Patena, Guatemala. He loves those people in those villages that Brother Jim and Miss Shelley are trying to reach. He loves them just as much. He wants them reconciled to Him just as much as He does the ritziest area down in South Florida, the folks that live down there. God is no respecter of persons. Christ appeared to and Christ saved His chief enemy. We know Him as the Apostle Paul, but he was Saul of Tarsus. He's the chief enemy. And at that point in history, the entire world had joined in the rebellion against God, had declared war on God. The entire world was deserving of the wrath of God. And instead, God reached down and He saved His chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus, who we know as the Apostle Paul. And then He reveals to Paul the message of grace that we are to share with the whole world. If you look up at the screen, look up here, and notice Paul's own words. Paul said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. We covered this a few weeks ago. He said, who was before? Paul said, man, I was before. This was his old identity. Man, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. And I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save religious people. No. He came to save who? Sinners, of whom I am chief. And what he means there, he doesn't mean, boy, I'm the biggest sinner on the planet. If you read it in context, chief means first or foremost. And then the next verse, he talks about how he's a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So when he says, I'm chief, he's saying, I'm first in a line of sinners that will be saved by grace. I am first. I'm foremost in a line of sinners that will come behind me that have been saved by the sheer grace and mercy of Almighty God. I'm a pattern. I'm chief. I'm first. And then I'm a pattern to all those who come after me. He said that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive life everlasting. Those who were previously alienated from God by wicked works. Let me ask you, have you ever done a wicked work? Have you ever done a wicked work? Anything that is not righteous is wicked. The smallest of lies in your mind is a wicked work. Taking God's name one time and using it in vain is a wicked work. Taking something at work that doesn't belong to you is a wicked work. Not returning back money that you know doesn't belong to you from the waitress is a wicked work. You see, folks, how many of us in here have done wicked works? All of us. And if you look in your handout, notice that it says, and you, Paul said, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he what? There's that word. Reconciled. We were without hope, Ephesians 2:12 says. Now we can be reconciled to God through the cross work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13 says, ye who sometimes were far off, you've been made near to God by the blood of Christ. Man, what a message we've been given. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you live, no matter your cultural or ethnic background, through simple faith in what Jesus did for you, you can have an eternal position of reconciliation with the God of heaven. Have you been reconciled? Now let's get real personal. Have you been reconciled to God? Do you know that you've been reconciled? We're all enemies by wicked works. We're all at enmity, but God says, I want to reconcile you to myself. And my Son did everything necessary to reconcile you. Have you ever come to Jesus, put your faith and trust in Him, and been reconciled to God? Do you know you're reconciled? As ambassadors for Jesus Christ, it's our privilege and responsibility to take that message of reconciliation to our neighbors, our co-workers, the guys on the ball team, the fellows at the gym, the waitress who serves you all the time at the restaurant, friends, relatives. It is our privilege to take that message of reconciliation to them. So we understand our position. I'm an ambassador. I'm not just an old sinner. Say by grace, I am an ambassador for Christ. We understand our message. It's the great message that anyone anywhere can be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. Number three in your handout. If we're going to be effective ambassadors, we have to understand clearly your strategy as an ambassador. Your strategy. Now, for this, I want you to go back to our text, to 2 Samuel chapter number 10. Would you turn back there to the Old Testament, please? 2 Samuel chapter 10. And I want you to notice something here. What was the strategy for these ambassadors? Look at verse number 2. And would you look at the end of the verse? It says, and David's servants came. And what's the next three words? Let's look at it again. I'm at the end of verse 2. I want everybody to see it. And David's servants came, what's the next three words? Into the land of the children of Ammon. They They carried the message from King David to them. They didn't wait for the Ammonites to come to them. They took the message of grace from their king to them. We employ the same strategy as ambassadors for Christ. The strategy is not, let's wait for people to come from Daytona Beach and knock down our door to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, we may be waiting a long time for that to happen. The strategy is, we go to them. We go to them. The strategy is not, let's wait for the people, let's wait, Brother Jim and Miss Shelley, they're just going to kind of set up camp in a village over there in the Patin, and they're just going to wait for all the villages in that area to come to them. No, they're going to them. When the teens went over there, how many villages did you hit? Eight? They went to eight different villages. Going to them. Just like these guys, they took the message from their king. And as ambassadors, they went into the land of Ammon with that message. That's the strategy. A great example, I think, is the Thessalonians. In Thessalonica, these people were idolatrous, heathen Gentiles. But they'd heard the gospel from Paul. They got saved. As ambassadors for Christ, what did they do? Did they put up a sign that said, come and see us sometime, all you heathen, pagan, idolatrous people out there? Come and see us. We'll tell you how to get saved. Now, let me tell you what their strategy was. Look in your handout. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For from you, Paul said, he's writing to this church, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, that was where they were located, but he said, also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. That's their strategy. They sounded out the word of the Lord. You know, I was thinking about Christ when he walked the earth. And when Jesus Christ came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel with the gospel of the kingdom, and he came to them with the message, hey, repent, the kingdom is at hand. And you know what he did? Him and his disciples, they went city to city telling Israel that good news. Christ did not just set up camp, you know, he didn't just get in a cave somewhere and put up a sign that said, boy, I got good news, or hey, you want to be healed? Come to me. He went out to the people. He went out and walked among them. He went out there and spoke to them. He went out there and rubbed shoulders with them. He went out there and went from city to city, village to village, giving Israel the good news of the gospel of the kingdom at hand. He went where the needy people were, and he ministered and he taught. Brother Jim told us a minute ago, Brother Jim Densmore said that there's 59 villages that have actually opened up a door for them to go. There's a 60, I think he said over 60, that have not, that don't want them to come. But they're employing a strategy. We're going to take the gospel to them. That's the strategy. You can't just wait for your coworker to come to you. You can't just wait for the guy on the ball team to come to you. You can't just wait for the lady at the beauty parlor to ask you. You have to aggressively, you take the gospel to them. Now that brings me to my last point, and that is this. If we're going to be effective ambassadors, not only do we understand our position as an ambassador, our message, our strategy, but number four, understand your mission as an ambassador. These ambassadors for David had a mission. Their mission was to take David's message of grace and love to the land of Ammon. Now, once they got there, did the people of Ammon receive their message of grace from David? Yes or no? Well, no, I mean, we already saw that, how they cut off half their beards and cut off their clothes at their buttocks and sent them on their way. And so they didn't receive it at all. They were persecuted. They were rejected. They were sent on their way. The message they had from their king was spurned, and it was rejected. But I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Did they fulfill their mission, yes or no? Good answer. Good answer. Did they fulfill their mission? Their mission was not to force the king of Ammon to accept their message. Their mission was to take it and offer it. Did they fulfill their mission? Yes. Was the king rejecting them, or was he rejecting the king of Israel, David? He was rejecting David. If you read verse 3, as we read earlier, clearly they were rejecting David, the one who sent the message of grace. You know, there's a great lesson there, isn't there? As an ambassador for Christ, can I share with you, don't be shocked if people reject your message of grace that Christ has given to you. Don't be shocked if they reject it, but remember this. They aren't rejecting you. They're rejecting the one you represent, Jesus Christ. They're rejecting your leader. If you look up at the screen, Paul said this, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but who?" They're despising God, "who hath given unto us His Holy Spirit." You see, our message, our mission rather, is to take them the message of Christ. And at that point, the responsibility is theirs. Man, the ball's in their court at that point. You give the gospel to your neighbor, the ball's in their court. You give the gospel to your family member, that brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, the ball's in their court now. And in your handout it says they have a free will to accept or to reject that message. You got to remember that. But they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the one you represent. So remember that. If you look up at the screen, Paul took the gospel to the city of Corinth. Paul himself was a Jew, but yet he met great opposition by the Jews there in Corinth. In fact, look at the screen. It says, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed," what did Paul do? "He shook his raiment, and he said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads." And then what did he say? "I am what? I'm clean." In other words, man, I did my job. I told you. I told you the message. You have totally rejected it. Your blood be on your own head. I'm clean. "From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles." I'll take it to somebody who wants to hear it. Once you give out the message, you've done your part as a faithful ambassador. Not that you won't have to give it again. Not that you shouldn't keep trying. But you have done your part. Can I make somebody get saved? No. You cannot force somebody to trust Christ. You cannot force it. You give them the message. That's your job as an ambassador. Take them the message. Now the decision is theirs. These people in 2 Samuel 10 rejected David's message. And you know what? They were downright ugly about it, weren't they? But you know what? I don't have time to do it all this morning, but you know what I want to challenge you to do? I want you to go back, and I want you to read the rest of that chapter this week. And you want to know what the result of their decision was to spurn the king's grace? Let me tell you what the result in that chapter, and you read it this week, but the result of their rejection of the king's grace was defeat, death, judgment, and servanthood. That was the result of their rejection. And it didn't have to be that way. All the king wanted to do, man, was show them grace and kindness. It didn't have to be that way. But they chose to reject it and spurn it. And death and judgment and servanthood, they ended up in bondage. Let that be a lesson. Man, today we live in the time of grace in which Jesus Christ is freely dispensing His grace to the world. We're not living in the day of judgment. We're living in the day of grace. And by the way, when you see things like the tsunami that hit Japan and you hear people talk about, oh, God's judging them. Listen, folks, that's a bunch of hogwash. Listen, God is... You want to know why tsunamis and hurricanes happen? Because we live on a sin-cursed earth that's reeling to and fro until the Redeemer comes and lifts the curse off this planet. When Christ comes back, there won't be any natural disasters anymore, but they've always been and they always will be until Christ comes back down to the earth. It's not God judging a people or judging a nation. That's not what He's doing today. He's not judging people and judging nations today. God is freely dispensing grace today. That's what He's doing. And you hear so much tomfoolery and you hear Christians just, rah, 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 say things without... you know, with just, they don't have any sense, you know. And so, the hurricanes all hit Florida because God's judging Florida, you know, and the tsunami hit Jamaica. God's judging Japan. No, I'm going to tell you, what's God up to today? God is up to offering grace to those people in Japan. That's what he's doing. He's offering them grace. He wants them to be redeemed. He wants them to be reconciled. He wants them as part of his family. And the natural disasters are just part of what Adam brought. You want to blame somebody, blame Adam for all that mess. But that's why we've got all that mess, is because of sin. But God is bringing grace to this earth right now. He's offering grace. But can I submit to you that he is a righteous God? And Paul taught that right now we live in the time of wrath delayed. But that doesn't mean the wrath isn't coming. God is going to bring wrath, and he is going to bring judgment one day on those who have spurned and rejected his message. The day of grace will give way to the day of wrath and judgment one day. Paul calls it the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And he says people are storing up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So right now, God's not immediately judging sin. He's giving grace. He's giving space to people to turn to him. But one day, that day of grace will be over, and the day of wrath will come on this earth to those who have spurned and just like in this chapter, the king offered grace. We don't want it. Well, judgment came. And it's the same way today. God's offering grace, but one day judgment day will come. In fact, look in your handout, and if you look at Matthew 10, 14 and 15, it says there, Jesus is telling his disciples as they go out with the gospel of the kingdom to Israel. He says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor... And you know what the blank is? Let's bring it up on the screen. What's the blank? Hear. They won't hear. Have you ever had anybody... You ever tried to witness to somebody and them say, I don't want to hear it? You ever had anybody say that? Don't go there. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, Al. I don't want to hear it. You ever have anybody say that? Well, look what he says here. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words. He said, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of what? Judgment than for that city. Will you... You know, there's something that I've said for years. And that is that light rejected becomes lightning. God's offering you light and grace today. Light rejected becomes lightning eventually. Eventually. So today God's offering you his grace. Have you ever accepted his grace? Have you ever received his grace? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? Now look at your handout. Some of you have already put it up, but I want you to look at your handout. How can we be effective ambassadors for Christ as we go out of this building? Know your position. What's your position? Are you just an old sinner saved by grace? Is that you? No. What are you? You are a what? You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're a saint of God in Christ. Number two, understand clearly your message. We've been given the message of reconciliation. Hey, you can be reconciled to God. That's the message. Number three, understand clearly your strategy. That is, we go to them. We don't wait for them to come to us. Number four, understand clearly, what was that last thing? Your what? Your mission. Understand the mission. It's not to save them. You can't save them. It's to what? We give them the message. Then the ball's in their court. That's the mission. Let's take them the message. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. If you know somebody today that does not know Christ and they desperately need Jesus, why don't you say a prayer for them right now and pray that you can be an effective ambassador to them. Pray that God will give you courage to be an effective ambassador. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you are here today and you don't know for sure that you're saved, you don't know for sure that if you die today you go to heaven, you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven. If you would like to know that, we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Bible. So if you want to know how you can be reconciled to God, you can be no longer alienated, but reconciled, restored to God's favor. If you want to know how to do that, we'll take the Bible and show you. We'll take you aside privately. And as soon as we stand in a moment, you come and let us take the Bible and show you that. Let's stand to our feet right now. And if you need to come, you come right now.